What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Mr. Michael Malloy. He's the president of EWP Financial and an expert in the world of private placement life insurance. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into the conversation starting with what is private placement life insurance? How does it work? Who are the typical clients? What is the process for creating and putting a product like this in force? Why do people do it? What are the primary reasons, the three key reasons that people pursue this kind of a product? What kind of things can you invest inside of it? And why would you want to do that? How are tax rules thought about and applied? How does it all work? And of course, we had a great difference-making tip on how to be successfully interfacing with professional advisors. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Michael, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please, sir.
When COVID first struck, it negatively impacted my business. When I was studying for my CLU designation, Chartered Life Underwriter, I did it a lot of it was on weekends when I went away to mountain bike races and competed. And the third is my first private placement life insurance client, their main investment was Australian bonds.
Okay. These are excellent. COVID negatively impacted your business. You studied for your CLU while weekend mountain biking, and your first client invested in Australian bonds. Okay. All right. I'm just going to be blind guessing here, sir. So I am going to say that the lie is number one, that COVID did not negatively impact your business.
You got it.
Yes. What is the truth? Did it help your business?
Oh, yeah. We deal a lot internationally, and so it reduced my travel. And now, I mean, people see you on a Zoom call, they accept you. Where before, you know, you more than likely for large case had to travel and go to their town. So,
yeah, freed up a lot of time and resources. So that's probably a pretty beautiful thing for you. And are you still a mountain biker?
No, I switched to running.
Okay.
More portable, easier when you're traveling.
It's a good point. You just need a pair of shoes.
That's right.
Maybe not even that, but probably. And Australian bonds, huh?
Right. Well, it was an international client. She had a kind of a dual life, partly in China and partly in the States, which is typical for Chinese clients.
Oh, interesting. All right, sir. Well, well done. What is top of mind for you right now?
Top of the mind, well, just servicing my clients, talking about what we do, private placement, life insurance structures.
And tell me what that is. What is a private life insurance structure policy?
Well, it allows wealthy individuals to engage in advanced tax planning and advanced estate planning. In one sense, it's like any U.S.-based permanent life insurance policy. But normally on those policies, you have a life insurance component and then a savings component or an investment component. But the investment component is usually kind of a menu of mutual funds. And it goes a little beyond that, but that's mostly what you get. Mm-hmm. So for our clients who are usually in the $10 to $20 million and up investment range, that just doesn't cut it. You know, they want to invest in real estate, crypto, stocks, bonds, and with proper structuring, that's possible with a private placement life insurance policy.
How'd you get into that?
Well, let's see. How did I get? The first case was was actually partnering with another broker in New York on a case, and then someone gave us this case, and he said, "Well, I'm comfortable doing what I do, I don't really want to learn a new bag of tricks." And since I don't know, it appealed to me. And at that time, my actual life insurance policy practice was going slightly more international, so it was a good fit.
And this was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Oh, like 20 years plus.
Okay, got it. And you went through the process. You learned how to do it. You did it, and you said, "You know what? This is pretty cool. It's a little bit outside the box. There's not a lot of people doing it, so it's probably a less competitive field."
Yes, that's all true. But also, the reason though it works very well for very wealthy clients, but part of our role is creating a team. It involves financial planning, insurance planning, estate planning, tax planning. So we try to disrupt as few relationships as possible, but frequently we have to bring in other advisors. And for the most part, people in those professions want to stay in their lane. So, to really make one of these structures work, you have to get your head around all those disciplines. And for the most part, and it's not, taught to CPAs. It's not taught in law school. So people come out, with a certain, like as I said, bag of tricks, but that's not usually one of them. So a lot of our role is education. And we produce a lot of videos. We have a YouTube channel, EWP Financial. And so once people, usually there's a lot of resistance because people hear the word life insurance and they say, "Oh, I like to say people have a section in their brain, where they lump all their life insurance experiences." So everyone's had some negative experiences with a claim or whatever. So you have to get beyond that. And then when you get to the other end, when people understand it, then you get frequently you get the opposite reaction. "Well, sounds too good to be true." So then you have to convince them that, and show them the tax code sections, and it's been around since the 1970s in certain iterations. So that's kind of the process of educating.
So funny, isn't that the truth that everybody does have that life insurance section of our brain? It's just, I have a picture of somebody's head open in a little file folder with all these negative experience of crappy salespeople hammering them to sell them a
Right.
term policy or a whole life policy and no thanks. So
Yeah, like the Woody Allen joke that the worst my worst experiences was being trapped in an elevator with a life insurance salesman.
yeah, that sounds like a terrible experience to have for sure. So,
So we try to avoid that.
right. Okay. All through education, and proactively working with other advisors. Does a private placement, are there a handful of carriers that you work with that help you to sort of customize the life insurance container, or how does that actually work?
Well, there's kind of two worlds, the onshore world and the offshore world. In the onshore world, in the US context, they offer pretty tame products. They go a little bit beyond the menu of, with some exceptions, they go a little bit beyond the menu of just a list of mutual funds. But we deal exclusively with offshore carriers. And they've over the years specialized in this. And the jurisdictions are Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, Barbados. And they've actually the countries have actually written their tax laws to attract this kind of business. And then for the US client, we make it, of course, compliant with these jurisdictions and compliant with US tax laws. So people aren't going, aren't hiding anything, but they're gaining tax deferral that they didn't have on their investments, asset protection, and privacy because there's limited reporting on these types of policies. So those are the three main benefits to wealthy individuals.
It's privacy, asset protection, and
Tax deferral.
tax deferral.
Because, just like in any permanent life insurance policy in the US, taxes are deferred. There's basically no tax on the buildup, and then it passes as a tax-free death benefit.
So, if I am a United States citizen, I do not have the ability to work with an offshore provider.
You do.
I can.
Like virtually every country in the world allows their citizens to buy what they term as a foreign life insurance policy. And the part of our challenge is to make it compliant with their home country laws also, so they don't get caught going offshore and doing something that's against their country's tax laws.
Got it. Okay, great. And as you are designing these products, let's just go with a carrier or a life insurance company that's in the Cayman Islands.
Right.
Is the same kind of modified endowment contract laws that apply, or how are the policies structured differently?
Well, if for non-US persons, again, you have to look to their home country regulations, tax laws, and insurance regulations. For a US person, we make it compliant with the US. Yeah, we for US people, we for the most part, we avoid the modified endowment contract, but for some clients, it doesn't matter. And in an estate plan, there's kind of two basic structures. Like for younger clients, they use these as a retirement plan. And for older clients, it's more for estate planning. So if it's for estate planning, in some sense, it doesn't really matter much if they're not going to pull money out if it's a modified endowment contract. So they, we do some of those. And then there's also different structures where we can have a very low death benefit and very high cash value in the estate planning arena.
Got it. And who is a perfect fit for this? It's people that have money, obviously, or resources, but they want to be able to put inside of the product options that are beyond the lineup of mutual funds.
Right. It solves, for each type of investor, it solves particular problems, and there's, a certain mindset. That people have to, for the most part, it works best in a longer time frame, 10, 20 years. I think everyone's seen these charts, a taxable investment versus a tax deferred investment. And you see, like, after 10 years, maybe, I don't know, you're a few million ahead in 10 years. But when you go up to 40 years, it's double or triple. So our challenges are, if it's for estate planning, it's pretty straightforward. But it just depends on what problem you're trying to solve, in the age of the client. how we structure these. But yeah, for the most part, it's people who want to pay less tax, or or they're looking for more asset protection. They're kind of a vulnerable professional. They get sued a lot, and they run a clean shop, so they don't want to be dragged into court on some silly nuisance claim.
And in terms of do clients or potential would-be clients reach out to you, or is it mostly education through their advisors, and then their advisors identify potential people that would be a good fit? How do you find new clients?
All of the above. I mean, some people, because we have a certain social media presence, reach out to us. We also, get referrals through estate planning attorneys and other financial advisors. For financial advisors, it's a benefit because once the assets are inside these, for the most part, long-term contracts, they have a client that's much more married to them, who may, on the next stock market downturn, may not leave them, because their investments are inside, a long-term structure.
And how are you compensated? Is it commission? Is it a fee?
For both, when clients reach directly out to us, we charge a structuring fee because and we have a contract because we work directly for the client. And then on the company sides, there's a sharing of commission, from the company.
And that makes sense that I imagine it sounds like it's pretty similar to the structure we have in the United States. Whereas if you are an employee of XYZ insurance company, you're an agent for the company. Or if you are not, then you are representing the client and not the company.
Right. Yeah, we're totally independent. I mean, we would not be beholden to any one group of advisors or any one set of companies. And the companies, these offshore companies, they're not, for the most part, the clients never heard of them. They're small kind of companies, 10, 20 employees, and they function as an administrator for the assets, but the death benefit is held by the largest reinsurers in the world, like Munich Re, Swiss Re. So the client has that assurance of the death benefit being backed up by, in some case, trillions of dollars.
Yeah, wow. What are some of the most interesting things that people have put inside these products?
Well, the most lately, the most is interesting clients are some of the crypto clients. So we had this kind of a home run, as it were, for a PPLI structure, is putting like a pre-IPO asset in there, and when the liquidity event comes, it goes public or the equivalent in the crypto world. All that gain is not taxed because it's inside the life insurance policy. So we had once a 25-year-old client, and he expected one of these events. So we kind of made the structure and showed him everything, and so he expected his investment of a few million dollars to go to like 30 million in 6 months. So we said, okay, here it is. It's all set up. And, we had a conversation with his other advisors, and then said, but, we all, in the meantime, in these 6 months, the company has to get paid and we have to get paid. So we asked him for, in this context, a small check, $150,000. Okay, he expected to, gain 25 million. But he said, so we talked to him over several weeks, but he said, no, I'll have to sell some of my crypto. He couldn't get his head around, the fact that, he had to pay, in this context, pocket change to have this structure. So yeah, he went away. So I mean, but I, in sympathy, I thought of myself at 25. I mean, I didn't think too much about taxes, and I paid my taxes, but money out of, the 150,000 was a lot, in his mind for something, he hadn't been paying for except for a few years. So anyway, it was an interesting challenge, but
Yeah. Well, hopefully that one got done, and he's got millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars inside of a private placement life insurance policy that he'll be able to enjoy for the rest of his life. So,
right.
but I also imagine you've seen some wild, outlandish things you can't share. So we'll let our kind of imaginations run wild on that one. How long does typical engagement last, or how long does it take to structure these products?
Well, if the client was completely motivated, and we could do it in a few weeks, but more like it's more likely than not, it's a few months, because there's there's medical underwriting, there's financial underwriting, there's getting the right structure. There's usually a lot of conversations with the client's other advisors before we, even start the process, because people want to feel comfortable. Because although more, just like the we talked about at the beginning, the Zoom, world has made things more possible and less travel. With AI and Google search, and frequently clients come, they're pretty well educated. They know the basics about PPLI, and they know that, that they're somewhat of a good fit. So you don't have to start at zero, when you start the process.
Is the medical underwriting and the ratings the same? Is it less stringent, more stringent?
It's a little less, but it's somewhat the same. But not too different.
Yeah,
And
interesting.
what but the main thing is the insurability question. If someone's it's more liberal in terms of who has an insurable interest in the policy. So if the client is uninsurable, we can generally name another family member who is insurable. And who we name depends on when the client, the family wants the death benefit to be paid out. So if we want the structure to last a long time, we can name, a younger, we can name a grandchild, or someone in their 20s. And if they, want the death benefit to be paid out at the death, as it were, of the wealth owner, we would choose, someone that is generally in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
That makes sense. Well, Michael, you've given us a lot, but the people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Well, don't invest in something you don't understand. So, if at the end of the day someone's explaining something to you and you're still scratching your head, and your gut feeling is, this isn't for me, no matter how good it sounds, don't do
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets
it.
a come on. I also imagine, Michael, that when people are familiar with this, so they become familiar with it if they are shopping around, if we just have we've if we have a physician here in Scottsdale, Arizona, who's making millions of dollars a year, and they say, you know what, I've heard about this life insurance thing, I should probably pursue that. And then they hear about this. Is it common to go down the path and then for them to say, you know what, I'm just not going to I'm not that interested. I'm just going to buy a retail issued New York Life policy instead of having to pay for the cost of creating a private placement policy, or does that not happen?
No, it generally doesn't happen because they know that, they've seen that the investment choices on the retail policy are not what they need. They it's generally not like life insurance driven. For in the US context, it's mostly tax driven. People are just keep seeing year after year how much they're giving up in taxes. And they see, well, if I pay a certain amount of fees and devote a certain amount of time to a few conversations, I can be out from under that. So, no, I mean, if someone just wants pure death benefit, it's kind of a different path.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? And if somebody wants to have a conversation about potentially exploring private placement life insurance, how do they do that?
EWP-financial.com. That's our main website. You can reach us through that and we'll be glad to talk to
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Michael your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to EWP-financial.com and learn more about everything that Michael and I have been talking about. Get in touch with Michael and have a conversation about whether it's a good fit for you and what it is you're trying to accomplish. And then check out all the great resources they have on their YouTube channel. And I will link all the different ways in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Michael.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yep. Take
Finally,
care.
yeah, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.